welcome back to Up North News. This song that's being played, the title of it is called Mother Freedom. I haven't heard the song in 30 plus years, which kind of surprises me because I listen to a lot of classic rock. I know a lot. I'm not like Luke here where I know who the drummer is on every band, but I normally at least know title and artist. I mean, as you can tell from the dad shirt that we've got here, I'm a regular listener to yacht rock as well. I know my tunes from that era. So when I heard the song, first off, I thought, I used to hear that song all the time, like wall to wall. I never hear it anymore. And then came that horrific discovery. I didn't know who did it. I couldn't think back. I'm like, is this, you know, Bachman Turner Overdrive? Is this Three Dog Night? Is this, you know, Alice Cooper? You know, who is this? And I looked it up this morning. It's Bread. Bread, the soft rock group that gave you Baby I'ma Want You and Aubrey and I Found Her Diary Underneath a Tree. They did that first. And it just reminds you that so many bands, you know, start out as rock bands, you know, a bunch of guys were like, yeah, we're gonna rock. And then they realize there's money to be made in love songs. And, you know, so the Doobie Brothers went to Michael McDonald, you know, and Chicago went with what's his name? David Foster, and went to all, you know, all soft rock tunes instead of the trumpets. Luke, I'm putting you on the spot, but I'm wondering if that is still a phenomenon we still see today where people are like, oh, rockers when they start, and then suddenly you start hearing nothing but soft stuff out of them.
Yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily soft stuff now that the transition comes to, but it's definitely more poppy. Like, it's you'll hear artists start, like, some of my favorite albums are, like, alternative rock band's first or second album, and then once mm-hmm. they make album number like 4 or 5, it really starts to get into some of the poppier stuff where they want to make it mainstream. They got big audiences and they just get more of a poppy twang to it then, because that's where the money is.
Well, you know who I think of, and this isn't like completely modern, we're going back more than a decade now, but Rob Thomas. You know, Matchbox 20, you know, that was a lot of, you know, in your face kind of stuff. And then he had that song with some, you know, some trumpets, you know, If You're Gone, some soft horns. And, you know, so he realizes too that, you know, there's money in love, you know.
Yeah, I think Maroon 5 did that too. Maroon 5 was a real rocker. Yep, that was more of a rock.
That
band.
I was thinking that might be the case as well. Yeah. So, you know, we all have a soft spot. Much like the soft spot that Tim Michaels has for Donald Trump for when he comes to Wisconsin today. And I learned this morning that when Donald Trump comes to Wisconsin today, this will be his first trip to the state, stumping for Tim Michaels, since his presidency. In other words, his first visit here since the insurrection. And so I ask this in all seriousness. Is there any chance at all that Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call could meet him at the airport? With court papers, handcuffs would be too much to ask for. But, you know, for that whole, you know, coup that he had planned and conspired, the thing that included fraudulent electors from Wisconsin. You would want to see that.
We don't even know, though, if the 10 fraudulent electors have been, like, served subpoenas and things like that to show up before a grand jury yet. And I have a feeling that we would need to hear from them before those steps get taken when Trump touches down here in Wisconsin.
I don't know. I think that sometimes, you know, you get the, instead of the bank robbery, you start with the people who drove the getaway car. And sometimes it's the mastermind who never specifically said, and this is what kills me. And I believe Tim Michaels said something like this earlier in the week, that he, you know, Donald Trump never directly ordered, you know, an insurrection to take place. That's how this works. I mean, and frankly, if you need to hear Donald Trump say, I'm going to shoot someone in the middle of Fifth Avenue before you would, you know, charge him after seeing him shoot someone in the middle of Fifth Avenue, you're not an apologist for him. You're an accessory at this point. And that's what you have in somebody who has the audacity, as reported by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today, the audacity to criticize Rebecca Clefish, his primary opponent next week, for not being supportive enough of Donald Trump in 2016, when it's been discovered Tim Michaels didn't even vote in the Wisconsin primary in 2016.
That's because he didn't live here. I mean,
because he didn't live here. He said, let me find the quote here, he said, I missed the primary, but I didn't miss the movement, he said in a statement. Michael said he missed the primary because of, quote, a sudden unforeseen major issue on the big Michaels Corporation construction project in New York.
Yeah, it was that he was living in New York. That was the unforeseen, yeah.
And you know, frankly, risked voter fraud. You know, he continued to vote in Wisconsin when he remembered to, but he didn't vote for Trump in the 2016 primary because he didn't vote in Wisconsin at all.
Well, it's really easy to remember the major elections when all states go to the polls, say in November, but it's a little harder to keep track of a primary halfway across the country in a state when you're spending a lot of your time in New York and Connecticut. So
yeah, but although it's not like the 2016 Wisconsin primary, you know, happened underground. You know, people knew about it. This was, you again, to take you back, Scott Walker got out of his very, 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 very short presidential campaign and said, you know, this party needs to stop Trump from taking over the party. And Trump Trump did not win in the Wisconsin primaries, Ted Cruz, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, so for Tim Michaels to say, oh, I would have voted for him if I were there. You weren't here. You didn't vote. You said not a week ago, you said that you couldn't commit to supporting Trump if he were the 2024 nominee. You said you were way too focused on this year and your election. And as soon as you heard Trump would come and stump for you, you switched that answer on a dime and said, oh, of course I would. You also said, you know, that decertification of the 2020 election, which again is not a thing. You said not a week ago, you said it's not a priority for you. Then you heard Trump was coming on your behalf, and suddenly your story changed again, that yes, decertification is absolutely on the table. And don't get me wrong, it was going to be anyway. If Tim Michaels is elected governor and Republicans still control the legislature, it will happen, no matter how much Tim Michaels would try to downplay it, because it's no different than what Scott Walker and Rebecca Clefish did in 2014. When there were rumblings that Wisconsin Republicans wanted to pass, you know, so-called right to work, you know, which is just another, you know, union bashing legislation. And Scott Walker said, oh, it's not a priority for me. It's a distraction. Well, he wins re-election. The legislature passed it, and he couldn't fall over himself fast enough to sign that bill into law. So don't think for a moment that's not what Tim Michaels would do if he's elected, and listen to that kind of conversation today with Donald Trump. In our next hour, Cam Stevenson from the Arizona Copper Courier will join us to talk about all the pro-Trumpers who won on the ballot there and what that could mean for democracy moving forward. This is Up North News.